of Fame. The Radio Hall of Fame is presented during the full hour ahead by Philco Corporation, makers today of electronic battle equipment for the fighting forces of the United Nations. Makers tomorrow of equipment for good living in a free world united by victory. Cooperating with Philco are the editors and correspondents of Variety, who report for the Philco program all the news of all show business the world over every week. This week, the editors of Variety recommend for your pleasure, and Philco delights to honor in your name, from motion pictures, radio, and the English music halls, Gracie Fields.
From the Broadway stage and motion pictures, Ilka Chase.
From the nightclubs, Danny Thomas.
From motion pictures and radio, the Andrews Sisters.
Conducting the Philco Hall of Fame Orchestra and Chorus, Paul Whiteman.
Our master of ceremonies, the distinguished composer, author, and commentator, Deems Taylor.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Deems Taylor speaking for Philco. You've just heard the list of this week's initiates to the Radio Hall of Fame, and here to play them on is our official music master, Paul Whiteman. Majestically, he mounts the podium, which creaks slightly. He scowls at the orchestra, which grins back. He raises his baton. He lowers it. He raises it again. With no further prompting, the Hall of Fame orchestra and chorus burst into one of the newer rumbas entitled Take It Easy.
Take your time, take up.
If you could ever invite Danny Thomas to your house for a weekend, I suggest that you come to a very clear understanding as to just how long the visit is to last. For young Mr. Thomas is notable as being one of the world's longest staying guests. He first attracted attention, for instance, when he took an engagement at the 5100 Club in Chicago that was supposed to last 1 week and stayed 3 years. Last fall, he was booked for a 7-night stretch at the Martinique Club in New York and stayed 16 weeks. Referring to the opening night of that engagement, Variety's critic wrote that he had had the rare experience of seeing a headliner born. Choco took the hint, and here, ringing the front doorbell of the Radio Hall of Fame, comes Danny Thomas.
Thank you very much, Mr. Taylor. Thank you, boys, for that wonderful introduction. Ladies and gentlemen, for your applause. And may I say to those of you, ladies and gentlemen of the armed forces who are present here in the hall this evening, and those of you who are listening at home to your radios, may I say that we who are physically unfit for military service salute you. To that, I can add only defend me. You might think I'm kidding, but really, I'm the only guy in the country who got a 4F without a physical examination. The doctor took one look at my nose and said, top heavy, outside. So since then, I've been doing the next best thing, that is entertaining the boys and girls of the armed forces in the various camps, wherever they may be stationed. While visiting one of the camps, I ran into a fella that had a sort of a natural talent for writing songs, and I promised him I'd introduce it on this program. And here's the song, please. Opportunity knocks, but once in a lifetime, so the philosophers say. Often I had wondered when that knock would come my way. I wanted to be a traveler and sail the mighty sea. And now that it's all possible, I salute the guys who fixed it up for me. Thanks to my friends and neighbors of my local draft board number 3, I get to lay around in bed till 5 o'clock each morn. Instead of a dinky alarm clock, I'm awakened by your horn. Oh, thanks to my friends and neighbors for the letter that they sent to me. My ma said to the postman, sir, this has no stamp, you see, and I'll not accept it, you can't make a chump of me. But he explained, the guy who sent it owns the company. Thanks to my friends and neighbors. You know, the last camp we worked, we stayed 4 days entertaining the boys, and naturally we lived right in the barracks with the men and kept the same hours they did. It was really wonderful. After 4 days of that army life, to help me, I felt like a real man. No fooling, it was wonderful. And oh, that good old basic training. There is something. Living in a fatigue suit, you don't really get up at 5 o'clock. I'm just kidding. In the song, it's 5:30 you get up, which gives you plenty of time to get washed and dressed and make the bunks and so forth by 5:35. Then at 5:36, you stand outside and shiver while somebody blows a bugle. And after you are reasonably chilled You grope your way through the darkness into the mess hall where you have a hearty breakfast of an unidentified liquid and a choice of oatmeal. After gorging yourself with this delicious repast, you again grope your way through the darkness back to the barracks, having beat the sun by 2 hours and 16 minutes, where you have nothing to do until 7:30. So you just sit around and scrub the washroom, mop the floors, bank the ashes, steal potatoes, passing the time of day. Then at 7:30, the kindly sergeant comes in and says, "Come out in the sunshine, kid." Of course, you don't really have to go out. It's the way he says it, you know? And you go out and bask in the sunshine doing simple calisthenics like holding yourself by the hair at arm's length. Or touching your toes without bending your back. A few other easy ones. And somebody comes along and unties you. And you are ready for the absolute intrigue, adventure, romance of army life. The hike into the hills. This is done by first putting on a light pack. A light pack consists of a gun and a bayonet, a knife and fork and spoon, and eat candy canteen. You must eat and drink. You stop to eat and drink, they've got no place for you in the wilderness, so you carry a tent. If you got a tent, you got a tent post. Post, you got pegs. Pegs are sledgehammer to drive the pegs, and a shovel to make a ditch in case it rains, and a fire extinguisher in case of fire. You weigh about 316 pounds. And you take a short walk into the hills until noon. At noon, those who can limp to the infirmary, where they are divided into two classes, those who have athlete's foot and those who have colds. If you have athlete's foot, they swab your feet with iodine. Got a cold, they swab your throat with iodine. Same deal for everybody, no favorites. Of course, if you have neither a cold nor athlete's foot, you're sent to the guardhouse for impersonating an officer. Officer, you know who I mean, a fellow that sits up on a horse and says, "What's the matter, you tired?" And you and the horse look at each other. Grace, the horse, being the more intelligent of the two, says nothing, for which he gets a lump of sugar. You open your big yap and you get a lump, period. But just the same, seriously, ladies and gentlemen, we have to have officers, we have to have men. For those officers and men, we have to have materials. In other words, we have got to, as United Statesians, as Americans all, we have got to work, fight, and sing. Thanks to my friends and neighbors of my local draft board, number 3. Because how else could I have met such a swell bunch of guys as we have got on land and on the sea and in the skies? And besides, I get to take a poke at those dirty Axis guys. Thanks to my friends and neighbors.
In recent years, the Philco name has become widely known in the field of refrigeration, known for quality and for the same progressive ideas which made it the overwhelming leader in radio for 12 straight years. As an example, in a great many homes today, owners of a Philco advanced design refrigerator are enjoying certain highly important and exclusive advantages. It has a huge separate frozen food compartment, in addition to the regular ice cube chamber, where frozen food packages, butter, meats, and other foods can be kept at below freezing temperatures for weeks. Think what that means in these days of food rationing and fewer shopping trips. And remember, it's an exclusive feature introduced through the original thinking of Philco refrigerator engineers. When these scientists and engineers return to their peacetime tasks, you'll hear of Philco again, more prominently than ever, in the refrigerator field. And you can look at the Philco refrigerator of the future to bring you advanced design that will truly interpret the new refrigeration needs of the modern kitchen.
You know, it isn't always easy to introduce celebrities because the audience is so likely to have known all about them beforehand. Now, you take the Andrews sisters, for instance. If you've never seen a phonograph or a jukebox, I might point out that it was their recording of By Mere Bis Duchesne that first made them famous, and that the sales of their various records totaled something over 12 million. If you've never seen a movie, I might explain that they've made 12 pictures in the last 3 years. As a matter of fact, their latest picture, Follow the Boys, is just about to be released. But you know all that, and so that all I can say is that, spurred on by Variety, the Radio Hall of Fame welcomes the Andrews sisters, singing a handful of their most famous recordings. Today, there's no one quite like her anywhere. To find her equivalent, we'd have to go back to the great days of our own Nora Bays and Elsie Janis and Eva Tangway. She was born in Lancashire, England, and went on the stage at the age of 7. At 16, she was a star. She's equally successful as an actress, a singer, and a music hall entertainer. She holds a Master of Arts degree from Manchester University and the title of Commander of the British Empire, conferred by King George VI. Known as the highest paid entertainer in the world, since the outbreak of the war, she's given up her fabulous income from stage appearances, pictures, radio, and records in order to tour England, Canada, and the United States in the interest of British war relief. She's a great artist and a great person, and it's small wonder that Variety and Philco feel honored to welcome her to the Radio Hall of Fame. Her name, if you haven't already guessed, is Gracie Fields. You all remember the warmth and sincerity of her performance in the motion picture Holy Matrimony. And now we hear her in an original play by Milton Geiger, The People of the Mist.
Formless and gray, the cold fog crept out of the floodplain of the Thames and silently invaded the city of London to stay the night. All night, Kate Cameron waited in her bomb-ravaged house to keep her appointment. All night, she waited for her boys and hoped steadfastly against hope.
We said we'd meet here, Lord, so we said. Only please, please make it turn out so that... Yes, yes, I'm coming. Michael.
Hello, Mum.
Come in, son. It's a wicked night to be coming home.
I don't mind. Now I'm home, Mum. No one else here?
No one, just us.
So far?
So far.
Oh, you're looking fine, Mum.
Oh, Michael, it's good to see you again. I've been keeping the kettle boiling for tea.
Thanks, I'll not be having mine yet. Not quite. I'll wait a bit for the others, if they come.
If they come? Do you think they might?
If they're free to come, they'll be here. We Camerons never missed a reunion yet. I'm here. I made it.
Yes.
Mum, tell me. Tell me about the air raids.
It was a busy time here for a while, son. A high-explosive bomb fell in the mews close behind the house.
Scared, were you?
Didn't have much time to take fright, I guess. There was a rush and a roar like an express train. And then there it was, in the mews, knocking everything this way and that.
Gillings, a fat pig.
That's over with, Michael. How was it with the fleet, son?
Wet. Very wet.
Ah, but it was a fine thing for me to tell the neighbors. My son, Michael, he's at sea with the minesweepers on the Arethusa. What happened to her?
Hit a mine in the Dover Strait while we was on a sweep. Oh, what a roar and a splash.
Michael.
Yeah, I got wet.
It's getting close to 4 in the morning.
Oh, if they aren't here at 4, well, they won't be. That was the understanding, wasn't it? 4?
4 the latest. I think I'll get you the tea now. It... That would be one of them.
Well, don't be sure about that. Maybe a light showing and the air raid warden's going to talk to you about it.
Yes, yes, I'm coming. Alec.
I told you I'd make it, Mum, if I could.
Alec, come in, come in.
Hello, Alec. How's the army?
Muddy and tired. How's the navy?
Damp. It's good to see you, boy.
There's 3 of us and the kettle's boiling.
No, Mum, we'll wait. Won't we, Alec?
Anyone hear anything about Bertie?
Nothing.
We'd better wait.
He'll be all right, though. Bertie takes care of Bertie.
Only I do wish he'd get into the bombers. A man ain't safe in those little Spitfires.
Oh, don't you fret about Bertie, Mum.
I wish he'd get into the bombers, I do.
Well, if he isn't here by 4 a.m.
That's soon.
Well, then he won't be here. That's all there is to that.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. There it is.
Big Ben.
Yeah, it travels with a fog. Don't it?
3. 4. 4 o'clock. And Bertie isn't here. Bertie didn't make it. Bertie. Bertie.
Hey, better let me answer it, Mum.
Maybe.
No, I'll go. I'm coming. Oh.
Mrs. Cameron?
I'm Mrs. Cameron.
I've got word about Bertie.
Come in, please.
Much obliged. I'm Sergeant Sam Ruggles, United States Army Air Force.
And these are my other two sons, Michael.
Hello, Yank.
Alec.
Hello.
How are you, boys?
Let me fetch you some tea, won't you, Sergeant?
Mum, later, huh? What do you say?
It's past four, Michael.
I know, but...
If you're holding it up in case Bertie should come, then don't.
Don't wait?
Bertie isn't coming.
Oh. Is that for sure, Yank?
Check and double-check, yes, sir.
What did Bertie tell you?
He said for me to get in touch with you. He said you'd all made a kind of an agreement. You'd all meet again if...
Yes, we know.
I was at the tail gun of a fortress. Bertie was flying his fighter protection over the Channel forts. Well, I never did see so many German interceptors at one time in all my life.
Was it very bad?
Bad? Bertie got back and just managed to set his Spitfire down on the road. We got back and made a crash landing and burn. I just about got out. Bertie and me got hospital beds right together.
That was nice. Did you like him?
Salt of the earth, Mrs. Cameron. One swell fella.
Thank you, Sergeant.
We'd both gotten it pretty bad. I don't like to...
It's all right, Yank.
Tell us.
Well, we could see the doctors making with the long faces and hear the nurses talking about us, and sometimes they'd cry a little. You know, Danes. A fella knows when his number's coming up. Bertie told me all about you and Alec and Mike. He said, Yank, do something for me. Look up my folks in London. My mother was in the Blitz and she'll be waiting. Maybe my brothers. Look them up, will you? That's what Bertie said for me to do, so...
Bertie isn't going to be here. Thank God.
Amen.
That's one of us who'll settle it with Jerry.
I'll be moving on, then.
Wait. Where are you going?
Well, it got me there, ma'am. I haven't got anywheres to go. You see, all my folks are alive. I guess that's another reason Bertie asked me to look you people up. He knew for sure that you'd been killed in an air raid, ma'am. And that we could have a nice talk together. He didn't know about Mike and Alec.
We said we'd meet tonight if we could.
If we happened to get ours, she means. Well, I got mine at Anzio.
My ship hit a mine in the Dover Channel.
High explosive bomb in the Meuse. I never felt a thing.
Gee, that's tough going for.
No. There's Bertie. Bertie couldn't keep the appointment. Bertie's alive.
Bertie'll give it to him proper.
Well, I've got to go.
Don't go. Stay with us. You're one of us. You loved Bertie.
One heck of a swell guy.
He was your friend, and we are your friends. You're all alone in eternity, Yank, and you'll find it's a large place. Stay with us. We're all the same. We're the people of Earth, looking for understanding and love, and finding it in our own small, sure way, because we must.
My advice to you, Yank, is to do what Mum says.
She always gets her way anyhow.
Sooner or later, the people always have their way. And we're the people.
Just too bad we're dead, when you come to think about it.
Did you think, son, that we really die? We don't die. We go away from Earth and then come back because the people are eternal. We come back again and again and again to live and sweat and suffer. And to die again if we must. For justice and love and the greatness of man. You'd better stay with us. We won't have you being lonely.
Thank you, ma'am. I'd like to stay.
And welcome.
Welcome.
It must be getting on to morning.
About now, the British are coming back from Germany about now. They're gassing up the fortresses for day's operation. About now.
Too late now for tea. It's nearly morning. Yank, take my hand. We'll be going for a walk, we four. And thank God for Bertie. Thank God for one of us left alive to keep on with the fight. Morning's coming, boys. Come. come, my son.
They stepped through the door and strode out across the city, walked across the top of London into the misty morning. These four who had fallen, but who would never die. The day came easily into the room where they had been, for the walls were shattered on three sides, and far below, through broken floors, the stagnant water in the cellar stood deep and dark and silent. But on the tilted stove a kettle stood, and in the kettle, water. It was as though the kettle had always stood ready and would always stand ready until the peoples who had died in common cause would come back to claim the world that their blood had secured and washed and purified. And then they would all sit down to tea together.
Momentarily before raising the curtain on Act Two, in order to allow Mr. Glenn Riggs to make a brief observation. In the words of William Makepeace Thackeray, the curtain drops, slow falling to the prompter's bell. A moment yet, the actor stops and looks around to say farewell. And what does he say, Mr. Riggs?
This is the Blue Network.
There's a disease known as Whiteman's complaint, and the complaint is over the fact that there's a lack of short orchestral pieces suitable for radio performance. Every once in a while, Paul stops complaining long enough to commission such a piece, as he did a few years ago when he induced Peter DeRose to write a short work of the kind that he needed. It was successful on the air, in concert, and in recording. 6 years later, Peter's publisher paid Paul by having words put to the melody, and it became doubly popular on the air, in concert, and in recording. Its proud godfather is about to conduct it for us now. Peter DeRose's Deep Purple. Variety recommends and Philco honors Ilka Chase as, well, as what? There's the trouble. Ilka's a very hard girl to pigeonhole. As an actress, both on the stage and in pictures, she's in the top flight. As a lecturer, she's the joy of the women's club. As a radio star, she's a countrywide favorite. And as an author, well, her first book, Past Imperfect, was a tidy sensation as an autobiography. And her second, In Bed We Cry, holds high honors in all the bestseller lists. And today she appears in a fifth capacity as the reader of a monologue, whereupon the Radio Hall of Fame throws up its collective hands and welcomes her simply as Ilka Chase. We hear Miss Chase in The Waltz from the acid-filled fountain pen of Dorothy Parker.
Scene, any country club or hotel ballroom. Out of the stag line charges a substantial and heavily muscled gentleman seeking his dancing partner. She's cornered. He bows and upsets a pot of palms. Shall we dance?
Why, thank you so much. I'd adore to.
I don't want to dance with him. I don't want to dance with anybody. Even if I did, it wouldn't be him.
I have seen the way he dances. Looks like something you do on St. Walpurgis night.
Just think, not a quarter of an hour ago, here I was sitting, feeling so sorry for the poor girl he was dancing with.
And now I'm going to be the poor girl. Well, well, isn't it a small world? Its events are so fascinatingly unpredictable, are not they? Here I was, minding my own business, not doing a stitch of harm to any living soul. And then he comes into my life, all smiles and city manners, to sue me for the favor of one memorable mazurka. Well, he scarcely knows my name, let alone what it stands for. It stands for despair, bewilderment, futility, degradation, and premeditated murder. But little does he wot. I don't wot his name, either. I haven't any idea what it is. Jukes would be my guess from the look in his eyes. How do you do, Mr. Jukes? And how is that dear little brother of yours with the two heads?
There you are. What can you say when a man asks you to dance with him? I certainly will not dance with you. I'll see you fried first.
Oh, yes. Do let's dance together. It's so nice to meet a man who isn't a scaredy cat about catching my berry.
No. There's nothing for me to do but say I'd adore to. Well, we might as well get it over with. All right, Cannonball, let's run out on the field. You won the toss. You can lead.
Why, I think it's more of a waltz, really, isn't it? We might just listen to the music for a second, shall we? Oh, yes, it's a waltz. Mine? Well, I'm simply thrilled. I'd love to waltz with you.
I'd love to waltz with you. I'd love to have my tonsils out. I'd love to have a seagull light on my head. Well, it's too late now. We're getting underway. Uh-oh. Oh, dear. Oh, dear, dear. This is even worse than I thought it would be. I suppose that's the one dependable law of life. Everything is always worse than you thought it was going to be. I'm so glad I brought it to his attention that this is a waltz they're playing. Heaven knows what might have happened if he thought it was something fast. We'd have blown the sides right out of the building. Why does he always want to be somewhere that he isn't? Why can't we stay in one place just long enough to get acclimated? This constant rush, that's the curse of American life. That's the reason that we're all of us so... Oh! For heaven's sake, don't kick, you idiot. This is only the second down.
Oh, my shin. My poor, poor shin that I've had ever since I was a little girl.
Oh, no. No, goodness, no, it didn't hurt the least little bit. And anyway, it was my fault. Really, it was. Truly.
Oh, well, you're just being sweet to say that. It was really all my fault.
I wonder what I'd better do. Kill him this instant with my naked hands, or wait and let him drop in his traces. He can't keep this up indefinitely. He's only flesh and blood. Die he must, and die he shall for what he did to me. Of course, maybe he didn't do it maliciously. Maybe it's just his way of showing his high spirit. I suppose I ought to be glad that one of us is having such a good time. I suppose I ought to think myself lucky if he brings me back alive. After all, the poor boy's doing the best he can. Probably he grew up in the hill country and never had no learning. Yet they had to throw him on his back to get shoes on him.
Yes, it's lovely, isn't it? Mm. Simply lovely. Oh, it's the loveliest wall. Yes, isn't it? Oh, I think it's lovely, too.
I'm getting positively drawn to Triple Threat here. He's me hero. He has the heart of a lion and the sinews of a buffalo. Look at him. Never a thought of the consequences. Never afraid of his face. Hurling himself into every scrimmage. Eyes shining, cheeks ablaze. And shall it be said that I hung back? No, 1,000 times no. What's it to me if I have to spend the next couple of years in a plaster cast? Come on, Butch, right through him. Who wants to live forever? Ow! Get off my instep, you hulking pest. Who do you think I am, anyway? A gangplank? Oh! Oh, no. Of course it didn't hurt. No, it didn't a bit, honestly. It was all my fault. You see, that little step of yours, well, it's perfectly lovely. Only it's just a tiny bit tricky to follow at first. Oh, did you work it up yourself? You really did? Well, aren't you amazing? Oh, now I think I've got it. Oh, I think it's lovely. Yes, I was watching you do it when you were dancing before. It's awfully effective when you look at it. It's awfully effective when you look at it. I bet I'm awfully effective when you look at me. My hair hanging along my cheeks, my skirt swaddled about me. I can feel the cold damp of my brow. I must look like something out of the fall of the House of Usher. And he worked up his little step himself. He, with his degenerate cunning. And it was just a tiny bit tricky at first. But now I think I've got it. 2 double flips and a 20-yard dash.
Yeah, I've got it. I've got several other things, too, including a split shin and a bitter heart. I hate this creature I'm chained to. I hated him the moment I saw his leering bestial face. And here I've been locked in his noxious embrace for the 35 years this waltz has lasted. Is that orchestra never going to stop playing? Or must this obscene travesty of a dance go on until Judgment Day?
Oh, they're playing an encore. Oh, goody. Oh, that's lovely. Tired? Well, I should say I'm not tired. I'd like to go on like this forever.
After all, one of the real tests of the popularity of any singer or group of singers lies in the number of return engagements that he, she, or they play. And you hardly need to be told that return engagements are an old story to the Andrews sisters. And so, naturally, they play a return engagement on the Radio Hall of Fame, singing what I'm told is the granddaddy of all boogie-woogie numbers. And here it is, the Andrews sisters in a little item called Rum Boogie.
All Harlem's got a brand new rhythm, and they call it boogie, woogie, woogie, woogie. They add a little rumba rhythm, then they add a boogie, woogie, and I look what they've got.
Rum boogie, rum boogie, woogie. It's out of creation with the Cuban think of aging, it's a killer. Rum boogie, rum boogie, woogie. The native rhythm onto it, so barrack and a dancey, it's a killer. The planted both feet on each side, let both the hips and shoulders glide. Now throw your body back and right. There's nothing like rum boogie, rum boogie, woogie. In Harlem or Havana, in Bukitsi or Savannah, it's the killer.
Oh, beat me, Daddy. 8 to the bar. Rum boogie, rum boogie, boogie. It's Harlem super agent with the Cuban think of aging, it's a killer. Rum boogie. The native rhythm haunts you, it's barbaric and it haunts you, it's a killer.
Just plant your toes and both feet on each side, let both of your shoulders slide.
rum all together, you laugh rum boogie. Then all together sing rum boogie, rum boogie, woogie, rum boogie. In Harlem or Havana, in Brooklyn, Sweetheart, Savannah, it's a killer. It's a killer, this rum boogie. Rum boogie, rum boogie, rum boogie, woogie, 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 woogie. There's nothing like rum boogie.
No doubt you've seen the Red Cross poster on the billboards of your community bearing the simple message, "Your Red Cross is at his side." Have you stopped to grasp the full meaning of that phrase? It tells about your son, your husband, or your brother. Your Red Cross is at his side, wherever he may be, to offer a friendly hand, to nurse him back to health, to bind his wounds, yes, to save his life. March is Red Cross Month. Your Red Cross, supported by your funds and your generosity. This year, because the man you love and millions of others are at war, the Red Cross needs $200 million for its war fund. This month, perhaps even today, a Red Cross volunteer worker will be at your door for your contribution. Of course you'll give. But when you decide how much, think what it's worth to you to know that somewhere, the man you've sent to war is more comfortable, less lonesome. Yes, and has a better chance to come back because your Red Cross is at his side.
They tell me that Gracie Fields is prepared at any moment to sing any one of 500 songs. And I know you'd like to hear them all, but I'm afraid that isn't practicable. You see, it would take about 36 hours, and Miss Fields is a little busy. And so we've compromised. She's going to sing four. Four songs which Variety feels will give you some idea of the extraordinary range of mood that is at Miss Fields' command. She sings them with the enthusiastic collaboration of Paul Whiteman's orchestra and chorus.
Along the highway,
say goodbye to sorrow.
There's always tomorrow. Just think of today. And as we go, although the skies are gray, beggar or king, you've got to sing a gay tune, a song and a smile, making life worthwhile to sing
as we go.
Happy household with smiles on our lips all the time, till some cruel and black-hearted villain showed us the pathway to crime. Young Herbert, he patronized racing, but none of his horses would win, so he robbed a harmless old bookie, then went off to jail for his sin. To the wall, Mother. Never more mention his name, for he's brought disgrace on the family and bowed down our heads in shame. Father took lessons in forging. Dollar bills were his favorite line, till he offered one in the courthouse when he had to pay a small fine. Turn Father's face to the wall, Mother. His picture turn on its nail. He won't see the last rose this summer. They've taken him back to jail. Rosie, she went to the movies. An innocent girl she was then. She forgot what her mother had told her about taking gifts from strange men. Turn Rosie's face to to the wall, Mother. Her picture shall hang on black string. But it's all through you meeting for Father. You're wind of the family. Now I'm going to sing a little song for all the little boys and girls. Little boy kneels at the foot of the bed, droops on his little hands, little gold head. Shh, shh, whisper, who dares? Christopher Robin is saying his prayers. God bless Daddy, I know that's right. And wasn't it fun in the bath tonight? The cold's so cold and the hot so hot. Oh, God bless Mommy, I quite forgot. If I open my fingers a little bit more, I can see Nanny's dressing gown on the door. It's a beautiful blue, but it hasn't a hood. Oh, God bless Nanny and make her good. Mine has a hood and I lie in bed and I pull the hood right over my head and I shut my eyes and I curl up small. And nobody knows that I'm there at all. Oh, thank you, God, for a lovely day. Now, what was the other I had to say? I said, bless Daddy. So what could it be? Oh, now I remember it. Little boy kneels at the foot of the bed, droops on his little hands a little gold head. Shh, shh, whisper, who dares? Christopher Robin is saying his prayers. Wish me luck as you wave me goodbye. Cheerio, here I go on my way. Wish me luck as you wave me goodbye. With a cheer, not a tear, make it gay. Give me a smile I can keep all the while in my heart while I'm away. Till we meet once again, you and I. Wish me luck as you wave me goodbye.
Wish me luck as you wave me goodbye. Here we go, here I go on my way. Wish me luck as you wave me goodbye. With a tear, not a tear, not a sigh.
Give me a smile I can keep all the while in my heart while I'm away.
Till we meet once again, you and I.
This next week, same time, same station, when the Philco Radio Hall of Fame returns with another show of shows. So we'll expect you this time next week at the gates of the Radio Hall of Fame. Signed, Deems Taylor.
Next week, another all-star show with Groucho Marx, Shirley Booth, Kenny Baker, Paul Whiteman, his orchestra and chorus, and others. This is Glenn Riggs saying goodbye for Philco dealers and distributors throughout the United States and Canada, and from Philco Corporation, makers today of radio and electronic materials to help win the war. Makers tomorrow of materials for good living in a world at peace. The production and writing staff of the Radio Hall of Fame includes D. Engelbach, producer-director, Milton Geiger, executive writer, and Abel Green, editor-in-chief of Variety. Special dramatic score was written by Paul Creston.
This is the Blue Network.